You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, April the 16th. And well, let's try to figure out today what good is the rest of this Detroit Pistons-Milwaukee Bucks series anyways. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to run down the Monday action in the playoffs, look ahead to Tuesday throughout the league, give you the bullet points on the Pistons game for Wednesday, but I'm also going to share my thoughts about what's left to accomplish from this series for the Pistons as they're kind of staring into the abyss here for the rest of the series. We're also going to hear from Andy in Ann Arbor about his thoughts from what to anticipate for the offseason as we look ahead and the rest of this series as well. Looking for some input from you guys. So Andy comes through for us and wanted to hear your thoughts the rest of the series, the rest of the week as well. So we'll throw out some prompts to you later on as well. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, the handle aptly named Locked On Pistons. And then go ahead and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook as well. But the Pistons return to action on Wednesday night in Game 2, a couple of days off for the Detroiters to lick their wounds and possibly, who knows, maybe even get the big guy Blake Griffin back into action. Certainly seems doubtful, but not ruled out and out of the question at this point. It's an 8 o'clock game on Wednesday night in Milwaukee. The Bucks lead the series 1-0 after a resounding victory on Sunday night in Milwaukee. I'm pulling up that final score right now. I wanted to forget about it, but it was actually 121-86. It looks even worse on paper when I say it again. The Pistons and the Bucks expectedly drew the NBA TV honors, I guess, on Wednesday. So make sure you've got your, if you're interested in checking out that game, you got your NBA TV set up. And of course, the game will be on Fox Sports Detroit locally as well here in the Metro Detroit area and in Michigan as well. But it's a 1-0 lead for the Bucks, but like I said, feels like a 1-1,000 at this point. 15.5-point line going into Wednesday. My God. Couldn't be high enough at this point, right? But Blake Griffin, by the way, the report, as you've probably heard by now, came late overnight, Sunday night, early Monday morning, from Yahoo's Vinnie Goodwill, a Detroiter himself and former Pistons beat writer for the Detroit News, connected with the Pistons organization, to be sure. Reports that Blake Griffin is likely to not play for the rest of the series. On practice on Monday, that nothing really changed message-wise officially from the Pistons. Say he's questionable, that Blake Griffin is trying to convince the team and the coaching staff to get him to play. Sounds like the medical staff is stepping in here and saying no go for Blake Griffin as of now anyways. And we'll see if anything dramatic changes in that aspect. I mean, Vinnie Goodwill in his report didn't close the door on Blake Griffin possibly playing. And really kind of in a 24-hour view of that report and Blake's status, I don't know that much has really changed. And that's not to be critical of the report. I believe it and I think it's true. But I still kind of feel like that maybe there's a chance that Blake plays in games 3 and/or 4. Certainly not something that will really move the needle for this series, probably, especially with him expected to be hobbled. And, you know, again, this is looking like the sweep of sweeps here. But I don't know. And nothing too new to pass along in terms of this series in particular going into Wednesday's game as we record this early morning on Tuesday. But like I said, I'll have some thoughts a little bit later on about what the Pistons can be playing for, what we can expect, what we can maybe glean from this series as an organization and as a fan base here. But I'm sure you guys all enjoyed consuming the content throughout the Detroit sports media on Monday. It felt like a Lions Monday, didn't it? When you watch the Lions have like a horrible loss like they do, you know, deflating loss 3 or 4 times a year as they always do to us, the last thing you want to do is to read the paper, turn on the radio and get the takes, especially because, you know, there's media members in this town. And this is not to be critical. It's just that there's, you know, a differing viewpoint than maybe we have philosophically here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but you know, the people are sharpening their knives when a game like Sunday night happens. People taking a lot of glee in the Pistons losing like they did, the Andre Drummond situation happening like they did. We know how it goes, and it's deserved, and it's a viewpoint that is legitimate, and it's nothing necessarily wrong with it. But as you know, as a fan base who's tired of being dragged by this team night in and night out, sometimes over these last 11 years, it kind of hurts a little more to get the pod, you know, the different radio shows and the newspaper people out there. They're obviously taking glee in this and turning the knife on it, and not good times for Pistons fans out there. But hopefully, this podcast is a safe space for you guys. We try to match the mood of what you're feeling from in a genuine way. If there's reason to be upset, as there is right now, obviously it's a little bit of a feeling of resignation with the Blake Griffin injury and how good these Milwaukee Bucks are, and black hole of looking ahead to what this series will be. But you guys know that I've been a fan of this team forever. Also know that I've got a little bit of basketball insight myself, questionable sometimes indeed, and a little bit of a feel for this team too, and still my keeping it balanced, keeping it on the level journalistic instincts that I have. So we try to keep it, not something that you excruciatingly get through, although maybe I sometimes wonder what the case is with some of these podcasts I listen to. But that's what we do here. So thanks for sticking with us through these dark times, really, in some ways. But with some results from Monday's playoff games, the 76ers stepped up after a close first half. I watched that whole game. The Philly wins it at home 145-123 against Brooklyn, evening that series at one apiece after a dominant third quarter from the Sixers. 21 minutes only from Joel Embiid, who went into that game questionable as well, but he had 23 points and 10 rebounds. Thought he looked really good despite the injured knee. Ben Simmons with the triple-double. That looked more like the team that I picked to win the finals there. And it looks like the game twos throughout the league might be moving things and a little bit more toward of an equilibrium going forward. But that one's 1-1 there. Back to Brooklyn on Thursday for Game 3. Like I said, I don't expect this one to go the distance. Maybe Brooklyn wins one of those home games, but I expect Philly to get home court advantage back in short order and take care of business in that series there. And as we're taping this, the Warriors up big on the Clippers. Probably not going to watch that series at all, if we're being honest. That'll be up 2-0 for Golden State. Although Boogie Cousins did get hurt. I'm reading some tweets that it might be a serious injury for him. So maybe, and obviously we don't want to see guys get hurt, but maybe some Warriors haters like myself will take a little bit of solace in the fact that this road might get a little bumpy, and maybe the Warriors aren't the presumed NBA champions once again. But looking ahead to tonight, Orlando at Toronto on TNT, 8 o'clock. San Antonio at Denver, 9 o'clock on NBA TV. And Oklahoma City at Portland, 10:30. On TNT. So a threesome of games tonight for your NBA playoff viewing, and hopefully we can, you know, enjoy it. I mean, I'm trying to think of, and we'll go into this topic as the playoffs go on, because I feel like we're going to have some time to talk about it, but who would you be rooting for? Assuming the Pistons are not going to raise the Larry O'Brien trophy this year, who do you want to root for, and why? Is it have something to do with your Pistons fandom, a former player, a player that you've always liked across the way, a team that you've always liked, maybe your Western Conference team, or maybe you listen to this podcast as kind of an exercise in hate listening, and you're really actually truly a fan of another team? Let me know. Maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode. Give us a call, 810-666-1546. Let us know who you're rooting for in these NBA playoffs in the non-Pistons division. But up next, I'm going to tell you what the Pistons have left to accomplish in this series. That's coming up next, but you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
Well, wow is basically all I can say right now. Just an amazing sporting event tonight that just happened as we taped the second segment of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Now, I know many of you slept through it and probably have already heard about it before you're listening to here, but maybe some of you guys are hearing about it for the first time as we pass along a little breaking news to you. So I saw some tweets after taping that last segment, and I saw that the Clippers had got it down to 12 with 7.5 minutes to go. So I rolled over to the couch there and saw it and sat down and watched the last part of the fourth quarter and just some basketball pleasure for me. So good. This Clippers team, they're fun, man. And it was nice to see that things like that can still happen in the NBA playoffs. Of course, I'm talking about the LA Clippers coming back from a 31-point deficit to win at Oracle. 31 points. That's like what the Pistons were down the other day. And certainly there was no chance that that was going to happen for that team. At Oracle, evens up the series. Draymond Green flops to get Pat Beverly fouled out. Then Kevin Durant fouls out on a moving screen. A good call there. Lou Williams with so many big shots for the Clippers. Montrezl Harrell, a tough guy, tougher than anyone on Golden State. And Landry Shamet, the rookie from Wichita State, knocks down the big three-pointer, a guy that I watched a lot at the Combine last year and thought, man, he's a pretty good player. I don't know why he's a second-round prospect, but ended up getting picked in the first round by Philly, traded to the Clippers in the Tobias Harris deal, which, of course, the Pistons are tangentially connected to there. The Clippers get the win, 135 to 131 in Game 2, tying that series up at one apiece. Just wow. Hopefully some of you guys were able to stay up and watch it. I know tough on the East Coast to be up past 1 o'clock in the morning like that. But what does that mean for the Detroit Pistons, another team that gets through and gets one of the wins on the road as an upset in the first couple games? Unfortunately for the Pistons, it actually means nothing. But just like on Saturday with the upsets, it kind of hammers home that playing the Bucks and, of course, being without Blake Griffin doesn't mean that this team has it means that this team has no shot, and it means that this team won't be joining the ranks of those teams in terms of putting some sweat into the Milwaukee Bucks. And maybe I'll eat my words after Wednesday night's game. Certainly don't expect that to be the case. But hey, bring it. Let's see, Pistons. Let's see what you got. But the Clips, I mean, the Clippers, Doc Rivers, those guys have it, whatever it is, quote unquote, there. Mostly kudos to them, to the organization, Lawrence Frank. Familiar name in Pistons lore. Jerry West, of course, being the advisor that he is to that group of basketball decision makers, the Clippers, riding high right now. Certainly not a team that is going to win this series or really be a championship contender in any time in the next couple years, I would think. But a team that has a nice foundation, a nice culture. And it's kind of, in a lot of ways, what the Pistons and Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski are trying to build here. But right now, the Pistons, they don't have that. We know that. I would love to be proven wrong, but I don't see this Pistons team digging deep and winning a game in this series unless it's if they were able to get a game three or four, and I don't see that happening again without Blake Griffin. But in any way, making this series interesting, like the Clippers just did tonight, I don't see that happening. I don't see a Lou Williams on this roster for the Pistons. I don't see a Montrezl Harrell on this roster. And, of course, those guys, in some ways, are kind of bastardized mirror images of a couple of the guys on the Pistons roster that could fill those roles, could be that fearless and effective backcourt scorer, despite his size problems, and then a tough guy in the post who has enough heart and enough intangibles, and in addition to that, shows up for the moment in the post. I think you probably know what Pistons I'm referring to, but I don't see that on this roster. I don't see a Lou Williams, and I don't see a Montrezl Harrell on the Pistons roster. But what do we want to see? What do we expect to see from this Pistons team on Wednesday night? Well, I think we did see a bright spot in Sunday night's game, and I think that's Luke Kennard. Came off the bench, his first playoff game, and really showed he belonged. He scored 21 points. He knocked down four three-pointers. His first playoff experience, and he's gaining that playoff experience. A little bit more bright lights, showing the rest of the NBA that he's going to be a force to reckon with throughout his career, hopefully in a Detroit Pistons uniform for a long time. A guy that you can ride with, a guy that can play on the court in a playoff game and deliver. So along those lines, I think we'll be able to maybe see who else has it. We know that Andre Drummond is Andre. I thought he wasn't as terrible as the haters say that he was in game one before the ejection. I thought he did some good things. I thought he blew some other things, and it was definitely more bad than good for Andre Drummond, along with all the other players on the Pistons roster, except for maybe Luke Kennard. But I thought that everything was kind of in proportion for all of the Pistons roster, Luke Kennard notwithstanding in this one, and that it was just really bad all the way around, and everyone was bad. And everyone was kind of on the same level of what you would expect in comparison to each other, but just everyone was just their own really bad version of themselves. And I think Andre Drummond kind of falls along those same lines. But that said, the bad Andre Drummond is still the best player on the court for the Pistons on that night. Again, maybe Luke Kennard was better, and he certainly was better in the third quarter. But Andre Drummond was, for the first half and for the first quarter, the best player on the Pistons, although, like we said, not something to really be too braggadocious about in there. So I think that Luke Kennard overperformed his expectations. Everyone else was down, equal parts down, and I think that in that context, Andre was the best of a bad group of players. So overall, what does that mean? Well, watching on Sunday, I really kind of felt like that Luke and Andre were the only guys who looked like they belonged on an NBA playoff court. Everyone else sucked. Now, this is game one. Things can change. But I think going forward, you take a look at this team, you ask yourself kind of questions as you watch. And I think it's important if you're really trying to take an analytical look at this team. Yeah, when you're down 30 and 40 in an NBA game in the second half, certainly it's garbage time. But I think those are still instructive minutes. I think you can still see which guys are stepping up. It's still Kyrie Thomas's first taste of playoff basketball. I know the game is well over by the time he steps on the court, but for him to get 9 points in the fourth quarter, does it mean a lot? No, but it's something. And I think you can look at this and see which of these role players are stepping up. Which guys can you ride with going forward as a Piston? Maybe there's a surprise in there. And I don't think that the way they play in these last three games, or you throw these four games that they're going to play in this playoff series together, I don't think it means everything. Certainly the evaluation of what you've seen through these players throughout the entire season means more than that. But I do think it's something. And obviously these playoff games should bear more weight than any single regular season game, and really any small group of regular season games. I think it's pretty important. So, and I also think that as you watch the Milwaukee Bucks dismantle the Pistons, it should let it sink into the players, the coaches, the front office, the fan base, the media, every kind of entity you can imagine. Let it sink in just how far away this team is right now. I think that that should dictate some type of roster decisions they make going forward. Maybe you roll the dice on upside a little more. Maybe you get some lottery tickets out there a little more of some guys that aren't sure things, maybe a little bit of wild cards, but if it works out, maybe it could work out in a big way. Maybe you take some bigger swings. Maybe at the draft, you take a guy who has a little bit more of a floor in favor of that big ceiling that he might have. Thinking about a guy like Kevin Porter out of USC, who had kind of a miserable freshman season, but has a lot of the gifts, has a lot of the things that you might want in an NBA player. Maybe a bit of a long shot, certainly not a sure thing, but maybe you take a guy like that instead of the more reliable players that might be available, the more established combine numbers or the more established college careers that might be available there at pick 15, and think about taking a guy who's a little bit more of a roll of the dice. Now, let me tell you about the moves that I wouldn't make this offseason if I were the Pistons. And not to say that they were absolutely terrible moves coming into this season, because as you move into year two of this front office and year two of Dwayne Casey, it becomes a little bit of a different phase. I know that making the first round of the playoffs is not a huge accomplishment, but it is something, and I think that it's something you can build on going forward with this Pistons team. Now, that said, certainly I would not bring back guys like Jose Calderon and Zaza Pachulia. I'll throw Glenn Robinson III in that list, but I want to talk really more specifically about those back-of-the-roster veteran moves that the Pistons made coming into the season. When we're talking about those guys, and they were on one-year deals, so they're free agents coming into this year, replacing Jose Calderon, replacing Zaza Pachulia, especially in those roles, the Calderon third-string point guard role, the Zaza backup center, although backup center is a little bit generous of a way of putting it, because, you know, Thon's going to get some center minutes, which aren't pretty so far, but hopefully he can grow into that kind of player. You're going to have some small units out there where Blake Griffin's going to be the big man too, and that should be something they should explore going forward, maybe more so too. But in those spots, those depth roster makeups, especially when you consider the fact that John Lure is going to be back on this roster next year, and insert your own John Lure joke at this point, but he is a veteran guy who's going to be in there in the front court. So you don't need more veteran presences with the front court and in that Jose Calderon backup third string point guard as well. I'm not going out and getting 15-year vets for their final year on those spots going forward. I'm going to go take a swing on like a G League All-Star guy who impresses in Summer League, maybe an undrafted rookie from this year's draft, something like that. Take a shot. Take another Eric Moreland type, a Dwight Bikes type, something like that. And I know that those guys didn't work out and certainly aren't NBA guys, you know, in terms of 82-game guys going forward on anyone's roster. But, and I know that Dwayne Casey coming in, and like I said, not criticizing necessarily the Calderon and Zaza moves because there was some method to the madness there. I know that Dwayne Casey wanted some vets that he knows, guys that he trusts to help establish his program. Well, if you're Casey in the front office, you have to have a little faith in that this this program and this thing was partway installed in year one. And going into next season, you have to have you have to make some bets on some talent. You have to roll the dice a little bit. Have some faith in the front office. Have some faith in the college and pro scouting departments. This formidable front office that we've heard so much about, it's time for them to go out and prove it. Don't play it safe. Make some big shakeups. And yes, in along those lines, everyone on this roster should be on the trading block. I know that I had mentioned when Wayne Ellington was going pretty good throughout the beginning of his tenure with the Pistons, that maybe he's a guy that you should explore bringing back. Well, certainly based on game one and really the way he ended the regular season, I'm off of that train, and we don't want to make rash decisions based on single games. But really, philosophically, I think a move like that and bringing back another two-guard, another guy with not much upside, I think that that's probably a bad move. I think the Pistons should use free agents expiring off of their books as opportunities to remake this roster as many times and as many ways as you can under those top guys and bring in as many different role guys as possible. And I think you should, along those lines, bring in some shakeups, bring in some young guys, some guys with potential, some guys with the core fortitude that you'd want from the Detroit Pistons and a team that Dwayne Casey will be proud to put on the court 82 games a night, 82 nights a season next year going forward. It doesn't mean I expect Andre and Reggie to be traded, but I do think that everyone should be on the trade block here. And like I know many of you want for those guys to be shipped out of here, but I think the Pistons should be open for business. And this first round series against the Bucks should really open this front office's eyes. And not that we need to tear the whole thing down and rebuild it, although that certainly is an option that a lot of you guys I know would like. I do think that major changes need to be made with this roster, and they are not halfway there. They are not a quarter of the way there, but they're really far away from being where they want to go. But remember, to get this show every day, go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Pistons podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Pistons. And up next, right after the break, we're going to hear from Andy in Ann Arbor. And if you have some thoughts as well, give us a call, 810-666-1546. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you think. And I've got a question for you guys that I want to hear the answer to a little bit later as well. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt. This is Andy from Ann Arbor calling. And I wanted to mention my thoughts regarding the off season, which is after last night's game one, rapidly approaching. Overall this season, I feel really good about the way that Reggie played, that Andre played, and that Blake played. Not so much because I think that they portend good things for the future going forward, but because I think that their good play this season might actually fool some other teams into taking on those ridiculous contracts that they have. Obviously, you want to throw a sweetener in there. Now, that depends on how much you think that the young talents, quote-unquote, on this team is sweeteners. Because another thing that's kind of frustrating for me is that I don't believe in any of these young guys that they have. Luke Kennard is probably the best out of all of them. And if Luke Kennard is the player that you're getting excited about, I've got some bad news for you about the future.
Andy from Ann Arbor, thanks for the call. I mean, he's right. There's no real reason to be super excited about any of these guys in a singular sense. Certainly Bruce Brown has shown the defensive capabilities to possibly stick around in this league for a long time. If he keeps adding on to that and becomes a bit of an offensive threat down the road, Kyrie Thomas, we know, is a second-round pick that has some glimpses in garbage time and is a guy that the organization seems to be a little bit high on. Svea Mykhailiuk is a guy who can fill it up from the outside. Thonmaker is a guy who provides energy. But those guys that I'm talking about, they all have obvious and plain flaws that they're going to need to work on with their games going forward. But when you have an NBA skill, when you can do some things out there, maybe you can have the basis of what could be a useful role player going forward, and maybe even more than that if you want to be optimistic about some of these guys and their ceilings. And then on top of Luke Kennard, like Andy mentions, being maybe the one guy that you could feel okay about, and I know that Andy kind of downplayed any excitement about them, but you fortify that with whatever the top of your roster looks like. And like I said, I agree with Andy in that the Pistons should be open for business for every single player in their roster. There's nobody untouchable, but those contracts are going to be hard to move, and I think it's high time for Pistons fans to realize that it's probably the same top three going into next year, although I do believe that the Pistons should really take a look at bringing Ish Smith back as a backup point guard and finding out something else for their starting point guard position. I also know that Andy in Ann Arbor is a Mizzou guy, so he'll appreciate this, but I wanted to pass along the other day that former Piston Kim English is moving up the college basketball coaching ladder. He has been hired to be an assistant coach for Rick Barnes at Tennessee. So moving up there, and maybe we'll see him as a head coach in Division I college basketball sometime sooner rather than later. He was, I believe, with Mizzou and then Colorado, and Tulsa with Frank Haith, and then Colorado, and now with Tennessee. So good for him. But also, we had another call the other day from Alex from Hazel Park, called, left a voicemail asking who was the gentleman that was next to Tom Gores with some of these late games season, an intriguing-looking guy in sunglasses. I believe that Alex from Hazel Park is referring to Ethan Davidson, who is the son of the late Bill Davidson, former Pistons owner. So he just is become friends with Tom Gores. He hangs around him a lot. I saw him up in the owner's suite when I was there for one of the games. He's kind of with Tom Gores very often when Tom is in town. So Ethan Davidson, he wears kind of, you know, he's a musician, so he's a little bit more hip-dressed than your typical businessman, so he kind of stands out when he's around the Gores crowd a little bit too. So, yeah, Ethan kind of wearing hats a lot, probably those sunglasses. I believe that's who you're talking about. He's got the longer hair too. So that's Ethan Davidson, the son of Bill Davidson there. Also, I heard him on A Drink With, which is a podcast that they tape down at the Foundation Hotel here downtown. So Ethan Davidson had an interview on that A Drink With, and it was a later iteration called A Drink With Detroit. So check out that podcast if you want to learn more about Ethan Davidson and the Davidson family as well. But hey, a question out there for you guys, assuming this Pistons season is over here in these next few games, who are you rooting for? Give me a call on the Google Voice line. Let me know who and why. Give me one good reason and the team that you're rooting for going forward. It can be tangentially related to the Pistons or maybe something about that team that you are looking for, and we'll take submissions, and maybe the Locked On Pistons podcast will jump on one of the bandwagons for one of these teams collectively, and we could get behind one of these other teams. Not really going to ever happen. We're not going to actually root for another team, but we will kind of point out some possibilities of teams that you can feel good about winning in the playoffs going forward, because I'm having a hard time picking any, except for that Clippers team that got that nice win late on Monday night. But give me a call on the Google voicemail. Let me know what you think about who you're rooting for. 810-666-1546. Leave us a voicemail. Leave your name, your hometown, who you're rooting for, and why. 810-666-1546. So thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. We'll be talking Game 2, previewing the big Game 2 in Milwaukee on Wednesday night. That's coming on tomorrow's show. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys on the flip side.